At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. All right, we are going back to Sir Croakington, and we're going to see what is happening in Fogbore Forest. Perhaps it has something to do with Wackner's Mad. Perhaps it has something to do with the Dreadstones. We shall soon see. Fogbore Forest. Wait, what does the thing say? Return to the mad entrance in Fogbore. Okay, that's what I'm to do. So I will. Return to previously discovered location. Wackner's Mad. You plunge into the thick of the cursed, mist-shrouded forest and embark upon the lengthy trek back to the site upon which Wackner's proud tower once stood. There, amidst the churning fog that blankets the toppled, half-buried remains of the infamous mage's once mighty abode. You once again arrive at the engraved stone slab that guards the entrance to the fabled labyrinth. Suddenly, your eyes are suddenly drawn to the rotting trunk of a nearby tree. Tacked to the ancient hardwood's decrepit torso is a thick, ragged piece of paper. Unnerved by the discovery, and certain the paper was not there the last time you visited this spot, you're about to move closer to examine it, when a sound of movement from behind sends your pulse racing, instinctively spinning on your heels. You immediately find yourself facing an unpleasant surprise. Oturuk, perhaps? 7 Oturuk, less than 10 yards to the south. I think half of this is me remembering, and the other half is Oturuk just keep turning up. 7 Oturuk, less than 10 yards to the south, are swiftly fanning out through the decaying undergrowth. As you step back, your mind racing to determine your next course of action, the sinister wood beings of wood and iron, moving almost in unison, begin closing in. Realizing you have no hope of escaping them, you quickly draw yourself into a defensive stance as you prepare to engage your 7 deadly foes. It's Oturuk. Gonna fight the first one regularly. The Oturuk swipes at you with its iron-tipped wooden limbs, and it's now adapted its combat tactics to match yours, meaning it scales to 8+. Maybe I should have equipped Umdrell's Oaken Wad. I'll do that for the next one. Keep going, and slain. 25 XP. You step back from the twisted, shattered remains of the slain Oturuk. Time to equip Umdrell's Open Wad. That reduces my MR a bit, but these things scale, so MR, or melee rating, does not matter. Because they're either going to be way lower than you. Before they scale, they'll be well into the 3+. And after they scale, they're going to be the same no matter how high you MR. So, melee rating, unless it's rather low, in the case that somehow it doesn't start off at 3+. I guess that can happen. But not very often, though. Wait a minute. If you fought an Oturuk and it started off at 18+, would it get easier when it's scaled? I guess it would. Anyway, if that's happened to you, tell me on the Swift Discord. You step back from the twisted. Alright, number 2. The next Oturuk, his iron-tipped wooden limbs poised to strike, steps forward and attack. I'm just going to quick combat the rest of these. The Oaken Ward stunned that one, 25 XP. Here's number 3. Another 25 XP, which is pretty decent amount for a regular combat. Not a WAN new combat, but a regular one. One you're going to... You're going to... Because you fight so many Otorok. So many. They're almost overtaking goblins by now as the number one foe. Well, actually, no, I think your foes are number one, undead. You fight so many undead. Even if you don't do the Bonehorn challenge in the battleground where you'll fight hundreds. I think it's probably undead, then goblins, then Otorok, then insects. I mean, I'll have to do a full-on wiki dive and just count up how many fights you have against every type of foe to work that out, but I think that's roundabout right. That feels right. There are other things, like bandits, but they're comparatively rare. Unless you seek out the randoms where they're common. Step back. And also, if you fought an undead goblin, like you fight a lot of in the Hall of Ruins, would you count them as an undead or a goblin or both? Well, it doesn't matter. Just gotta keep bashing them. 6 of 7. The last of the fearless Otorok, undeterred by the destruction of its kin, because this is in no way, it's not fearless and it's brave, it's fearless as in they didn't bother to give it the ability to feel fear. It's a drone, it's a construct, it doesn't have feelings, just obeys its rather crude programming, which usually go here, kill. Or, if not, just stand around waiting for someone to tell you what to do. Right, quick combat this one. Finish off with a battle wedge. Otorok, stop being so common! You step back from the twisted, shattered remains of the slain Otorok. With no more of the wood and iron beings in sight, you exhale sharply and quickly check over your equipment. You're about to move over and examine the paper tacked to the tree when an unwelcome sight looms into view out of the surrounding mist. Wasting no time, you step back and draw yourself into a combat-ready stance as an iron Otorok, its rigid movement swift and silent, bears down on you. It's an iron Otorok, and it just has the same description as the other Otoroks, which I'm sure I've read before, and if you want to find it out, you can go on swift.com and just scroll down and find it in the lore book. Easy peasy. If it's a new thing, I would read it, as I usually do, but we've fought so many Otorok. You're all familiar with them by now, unless this is your first episode, in which case... Hello, you'll probably want to scroll down a bit to find some place to start. Or across, or however the episodes are formatted on how you're watching it. Alright, Otorok, Iron Otorok. The Iron Otorok swipes through its sharpened tips of its iron limbs. The Iron Otorok strikes you with a staggering blow. You've been stunned, and you're unable to act during the next round of combat. And there's the next round of combat, and it takes the opportunity while I'm stunned to adapt to my combat tactics. Fortunately, I only adapted to 8+, which makes it a lot easier than if it adapted to 11+. Through sharpened tips of its iron limbs. Keep going. The Umdral's oaken rod suddenly emits a blazing green glow. Otorok is swum, stunned. Oh, good. That means I can get in a few free attacks. And it's stunned again. More free attacks. Only for one round, though, but still, it's nice. The Iron Otorok swipes you through the sharpened tips of his iron limbs for 6 damage. That's just a weak attack. It's stunned again. Stunned again. And I'm stunned. Everyone's stunned. Stunning's all round. Keep going. And it is slain. 26 experience. I guess it just got one more experience because it... Yeah, who knows. Probably because it was a harder foe somehow. Though it was scaled, so... Yeah, who knows. You stare down at the heap of twisted metal at your feet. Or else it could just be a coincidence, because that you get a variation of about one or so with these combats, just probably because sometimes it random outs. Because sometimes the mech spear is using the formula, is in the middle, and sometimes they add it, sometimes they don't. You stare down at a heap of twisted metal at your feet. The iron Otwok's head, now detached from its sturdy leg. Neck bears the unmistakable mars of a previous battle. It appears that someone or something struck the dangerous iron being with a heavy bladed weapon. Well, I just hope we can finally meet up with this mysterious Otwok slayer. Whoever they may be, because then we can team up and just fight Otwok, fight so many Otwok, and then make, well, no, I think even with two super guys, we wouldn't be able to get into Coratel's massive fortress. That is just too many Otwok. I think we'll need some sort of, well, we'll even need a secret passage in there where we could, you know, get past the wall of Otwok. That is a wall manned by and built by Otwok. And in probably in one case made of Otwok. Because, I mean, what's going to stop them? Anyway, hope we meet up with them. Maybe we will. Maybe we already have and we didn't notice. After taking a few moments to check over your gear, to make certain no other Otwok are lurking nearby, you at last step forward to examine the paper tacked to the tree. The thick, ragged scrap of paper has been dampened by the fog. You take care to leave it in place while you examine the two words scrawled across its stained surface. Twisted Gate. You immediately recall the Twisted Gate to be an alehouse in the city of Merksprawl. That's to say that because there is a chance that you did the Dreadstone Saga, and then it could be a long, long time before you do this bit. Because that's just what happens when you can do your adventures in all sorts of orders. You well remember your first and only visit to the outhouse, for it is there you met up with the famed adventurer Thrimback, and delivered to him the three dreadstones, and that was in the previous episode. You also recall that it was at that meeting in the Twisted Gate that Thrimback gave you a map. He claimed showed the location of Ragnar's labyrinth within Fogbore. A claim that you now realise was, perhaps unintentionally, false. Or Ragnar's labyrinth moved, I mean... Who's to say? Maybe it does move. I mean, most of Ragnar's labyrinth isn't, you know, in our world, so moving the entrance, not that hard, comparatively speaking. Suddenly, your eyes are drawn to the bottom of the ragged note. There, sketched faintly on the dark, soggy surface of the paper, is the crude outline of what appears to be a Tackerback, its wings spread wide. Alright, okay, we've seen a lot of Tackerbacks in the labyrinth, so maybe Thrimback is, oh, I assume this note's from Thrimback. I mean, who else would be at the Twisted Gate? Thrimback or someone who knows Thrimback. Yes, it seems that whoever that is sort of vaguely is t- type knows the same sort of mysteries that Wacknar did. Mysteries to do with Takabaks, at least one of their symbols. Anyway, we shall see soon. You carefully remove the piece of paper from the tree, and again, again study it. Your eyes wander over the curious note. You clearly recall part of your last visit to the Twisted Gate. You have no trouble finding the Twisted Gate. It turns out that it's the name of an outhouse, not far from the piers, the northern end of one of the Wiverport's wider lanes. All eyes are upon you as you step through the age-worn slab of timber that separates the interior of the notorious outhouse from the bustling street outside. The moment you pass over the threshold, however, the clustered patrons turn back to their own private, not-so-private, affairs, and you become just another face in the noisy crowd that throngs one of Migsville's more disreputable establishments. You make your way towards the back of the outhouse, keeping your eyes peeled for any sign of Thrimback, whose rather cryptic note seems to have led you from one den of squalor, the Goblin Claw, to another. As you edge past the leaning table, a soft female voice suddenly whispers in your left ear. "Keep going. He's in the far corner." You turn to find a golden-haired serving girl standing at your shoulder. She smiles and winks before slipping off through the crowd that fills the centre of the room. Having finished your examination, you carefully place it in amongst your other belongings, taking care not to tear the soggy scrap of paper. We need one of those protective pockets to put it in. Or maybe even laminate it. I don't know, maybe laminating wouldn't work because it's soggy. So if it's soggy and it's laminated, maybe the steam coming off it will just destroy it utterly. But definitely probably cause the ink to run. Yeah, probably don't laminate it. And not just because laminating doesn't exist in this world. Yeah, but prepare one of those protective folders. Pockets. Protective pockets, yeah, that'll do. This note will not appear as an item in your inventory. You realise that if you have any chance of discovering the meaning behind the cryptic note, another visit to the cryptic gate is in order. To visit the Twisted Gate and discover what awaits you there, travel to the city of Mugsbull in Western Tysa. Alright, I shall do that. Outer Fogbur Forest, Western Tysa, City of Mugsbull. Yeah, and now the number of available scenarios has been reduced by one. For now. Oh, we can still go to the Twisted Gate Ale House in Mugsbull. Well, I guess one thing just... Who knows? Alright, to the Twisted Gate Outhouse. The Twisted Gate is thronged. The clustered patrons, a largely disreputable looking lot, turn and quickly look over you before returning their attention to their own fares. Despite the overall unsavoury makeup of the outhouse crowds, these Gavin and Conwin appear to go out of the way to give you a wide, seemingly respectful berth as you move about the tavern. Curious that they should all do that. I mean, except for a few of them, yeah, but it's a tavern. Usually taverns have all sorts in them. I'm guessing this tavern is the main meeting area of some sort of club who is on my side, apparently. Or at least realises I'm useful. Which I am. Very much so. If you want any honours to smash, Sir Croakington is who you call. You want a dungeon delved? Call Sir Croakington. If you want a treasure of the ancients found, I mean, once you've done all the, academic work, Sir Croakington can step in. You want to get to the bottom of Wagner's mad? Well, Sir Crokington, if anyone can do that, it's Sir Crokington. But even Sir Crokington's going to need a lot of help. Like again, just now. Take a seat at one of the tables. As you make your way towards the empty table at the back of the common room, you're startled when a young woman steps out of the airhouse crowd and hooks your white arm. Alright, okay, that doesn't make sense. Let me jump on her or something. You turn and look at the fair-haired serving girl and immediately recognise her to be the young woman who directed you to Thrimback's table on your last visit to the Twisted Gate. You clearly recall your first encounter with her. As you edge past a leaning table, a soft female voice subtly whispers in your left ear. Keep going. He's in the far corner. You turn to find a golden-haired serving girl standing at his shoulder. She smiles and winks before slipping off through the crowd that fills the centre of the room. You remember me, she says, smiling. That's quite flattering, Sir Crokington. But not of much importance, I fear. Save, perhaps, to me. I'm glad you found my note. I need to speak with you, but not right here. Would you follow me? Okay, there seems to be more. She seems to have other things going on than just being a waitress at this tavern. Yep. We shall see. The serving girl raises her hand, whistles loudly, and makes several motions in the direction of the tavern keep. Before turning and moving towards the door, her arm still hooked around yours. Vigilant for any sign the young woman may be attempting to lead you into a trap, you allow her to keep hold of me and follow her out onto the bustling street and down an adjoining lane. Outside her newly erected stable, she stops and lets me down on the ground. The look you gave me in your gate told me you remembered me, she says, her dark eyes intently focusing your face. I don't mean to presume anything, however, so if you don't recall a previous meeting, please say so. Will you assure her that you do remember your first encounter? She smiles. Good. Then you need to know who I am. My name is Emidhala. Though most those who know me prefer to call me Emmy. The first time we met, only briefly, you were delivering something to my oldest brother, Thrimback. Ooh, Thrimback's sister. Well, I assume that means she's also incredibly badass. You know, unless... Well, she got into the middle of Fogbrough, so that's some badassness on its own. So, yep, definitely badass. Caught off guard by the young woman's sudden admission, you quickly ask her if her reason for summoning you back to the Twisted Gate involves her brother Thrimback. You also ask her how it was she knew to leave the note for you at the site of Wagner's Labyrinth in Fogbrough. Emmett Harter tells you she's long known the location of the Mad, and she's aware that you've been exploring the ancient maze. She also tells you that her brother, not entirely sound-minded your last meeting, probably the effects of the Dreadstones, gave you the wrong map. He meant to give you the map that I used to reach the spot where I left the note, she says. But the one I did give you will yet prove to be of use if you've let me just... You interrupt her and ask her about the tackerback etched onto the bottom of the note you discovered. A confused look crosses her face and she shakes her head.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I made no such marking on the note I left. Do you still have it? You promptly retrieve and carefully unfold the damp ragged scrap of paper, your heart nearly skips a beat as you stare down at the note. The sketched outline of the tackerback is no longer there. Alright, how did that happen? Is this Wackner's plotting, perhaps? You show the note to Jennifer, and she immediately confirms it to be the one she left tacked to the tree. She makes no further mention of your claim regarding the sketch tackerback, and you decide, for now, to let the matter rest. I hope you still have the map my brother gave you, she says. Let me see it, and I hope you make some sense of it. Overcome with curiosity, you hand her the map. She carefully unfurls it and studies the wrinkled sheet for nearly a minute. Your eyes are suddenly drawn to her right hand. There, perched upon her slender index finger, is a glowing blue band. Well, whatever that is, I'm sure it will turn out to be important sooner or later. Probably. I mean, why would you notice if it wasn't important? Emetha runs her white hand over the surface of the map. As she does so, the crude sketches that adorn its worn surface transform into intricate illustrations, all of which emit a faint blue glow. She smiles, apparently satisfied with the report, with the result, and hands you back the map. Okay, I guess that's what the glowing blue band does, possibly amongst other things. The map, its glowing blue lines, as detailed and crisp as those that might be sketched by a master cartographer, now clearly marks a location near to the entrance to Wagner's labyrinth. A skull and an eye, two symbols you become all, with which you become all too familiar, are etched below what appear to be a set of tall doors somewhere in the thick of the misty wood. Emetha tells you that while she knows nothing about the location marked by the two symbols, Frimbach placed a great amount of importance on the map. She says he regarded it as one of his most valuable possessions before ultimately relinquishing it to you. She tells you she's certain you'll find something valuable there, something that will help you continue your exploration of the maze. Listen to me, Sir Crokington, she says, her eyes shifting from the map to you. You may choose to either believe me or ignore what I'm about to tell you, but I will say it just the same. You must not trust those at whose behest you've been exploring the labyrinth. They hope and pray for your success, to be sure, but your discovery, your victory, will ultimately be theirs. They have not told you the true reason behind sending you into the maze. Wait, before you speak, there is more. Because I do kind of know that there's schemes within schemes, plays within plays going on here. We know there's the Grey Mage, definitely a player. We know that Glenorus will somehow be involved. And Coratel is going to be involved. Woundskin will probably be involved. So that's at least these four factions vying for the secret behind Wackner's labyrinth. And then of course there's Wackner himself, if he's still even alive. I think he's still alive. It's not quite clear. Not quite clear so far. But admittedly, magic does extend life. So, he could be alive. Emetha's next words prove to start through. While she can neither prove nor disprove her statement, something tells you they are not to be accepted or discarded without careful consideration. She tells you that Wackner was not quite as sinister a person as the histories and legends have consistently portrayed him. While she agrees that his profound mastery of magic was without precedent, and he often explored the darker, more dangerous side of Arcanum, That's just what happens when you're a really powerful wizard, because with great magical power comes great insanity, apparently. He was a man possessed by fear, a crippling fear of someone or something. It was an inescapable fear, an incessant, lurking sense of doom that now likely served to drive his most inexplicable and now legendary acts, including, of course, the construction of the Mad. Right, what could Ragnar be scared of? I'm thinking it's probably the sentient portal that he found. Now, that's something I'd be absolutely terrified of. I mean, regular portals are scary enough, but the one there, that's an entirely different level of terrifying. You ask Emmett Haler if she knows, or has a theory about what it is that Ragnar allegedly feared. I know it is she came to believe this. There isn't a time to reveal all of that, and much of it has no direct bearing upon the task upon which you now endeavour. You are burdened enough, she says. We believe, as the legends tell, that he used what remained of his unmatched power to construct a labyrinth in which to hide a shadow path. It is the matter of the shadow path itself which is our primary concern. If, as we contend, and we is in bold all the times we come across it, Wackner's motives were not sinister, then those who attempt to label them as such may well have motives darker than those they wish to ascribe to the great mage. We seek only to discover the truth, and to prevent what may be a looming calamity, of course. Yeah, that's kind of what we've been going for. Yeah, he built the labyrinth to keep the sentient shadow path, sentient and malicious shadow path contained. Immediately, mindful of Emmett Hare's repeated word of the use of the word we. She asks if she's referring to herself and her brother. From back, she shakes her head. We are not important. You, Sir Crokinton, are, she says flatly. Honestly, that bold we looks like it's referring not just to two people, but an entire organisation. And I've got the suggestion that it kind of includes Ragnar himself, at least loosely. You are alone, currently, we surmise, in your ability. You're alone, currently, we surmise, in your ability to enter and explore the labyrinth. How it is you are able to ward off the protective magic that guards the maids, remains unknown to us. Now, of course, we know in the past some people went into Wackner's Mad. Or Ragnar designed the maze so it would look like people have been there in the past, in order to give clues in a roundabout way. Honestly. Plots within plots, schemes within schemes. Perfective magic that guards the maze remains unknown to us, and while I suspect the Grey Circle has had a hand in it, I do not ask that you reveal your means. But none among the we to which I have been referring are able to enter that ancient lair. We gladly and gratefully place any hope we have of learning Ragnar's secret in your most capable hands. You ask Emmett Haler if the implication of what she has told you is that she believes the motive presented to you by the Grey Circle, which launched your exploration of Ragnar's Mad, is a sinister deception. Again, she shakes her head. I cannot say so with certainty, she says. I only ask that you remain mindful of those who claim to be your allies in this affair, and that you do not completely dismiss what I have put forth to you about a man who has likely been unfairly judged by those with a strong enough motive to wish to besmirch his legacy." Emmett Haler suddenly goes silent as a brown-bearded man clad in a stained tunic and grubby cloth cap goes near. As he passes by, he acknowledges you with a curt nod and tips his hat to your enigmatic companion, only when he has disappeared into the crowd. Crowd along the lane, does she again speak? "Just a friend," she says, as if to reassure you. "Yet, as I've seen fit to warn you, I too must consider my allies carefully, and always remain mindful of them. There are few enough of us left. We can take nothing for granted. Least of all, someone like you." Before she can continue, you interject and ask her what has led to the conclusions to which she alluded. Even as the words leave your lips, your thoughts are drawn back to the meeting with Yersin. The emissary seemed trustworthy enough at the outset of the mission, and has appeared to you in the labyrinth more than once, often to render you timely, much-needed assistance.
"Yeah, I think
Yersin just wants to get to the bottom of the labyrinth and deal with the portal. I don't think if there's any deeper schemes going on, I don't think Yersin knows about them. And if he did know about them, probably wouldn't particularly work towards them. Unless the Grey Mage herself made a pretty good case for them, in which case he would, because... Well, he's part of the Grey Circle. He's fully committed to it. So if something's needed to, you know, keep the organisation running and, you know, fulfil its... And the Grey Mage says something, you probably go along with it without asking too many questions. Because the Grey Mage is very, very smart. And very, very wise, and has access to knowledge beyond regular mortal ken, and I think has pretty much shown herself to be on the side of good repeatedly. "I know precious little about the envoy with whom you met," she says, as if having read your mind. "It's conceivable he could be oblivious to all but his own task." "Oh, that's just what I was saying. And not directly part of any larger scheme. Still, we know too little about him to be certain. He must be watchful of everyone, Sir Crokington. While never forgetting that your every step is likely falling under some distant gaze. It's not inconceivable. In fact, quite likely. Once you've done what is required of you, you will quietly disappear. Somewhere deep down in the dark of the maze."
Although admittedly, if you are doing a scheme, you don't want loose ends just wandering around, when you could have them just be lost in a labyrinth, and then you know they're not ruined things.
Emma's words conjure up a dozen dreadful possibilities. And for the first time, you begin to realise the lonely, vulnerable position you place yourself in each and every time you enter the mad. And it's dangerous enough just from the things native to the mad. You suddenly realise Yersin's cautionary words, rated to you by his flickering apparition deep in the labyrinth. "No, Sir Crokington, you are not alone here. There is another who explores these halls. I don't yet know what." As the words of Yersin echo through your mind, you carefully finger the Wing of Greater Warding, the device that allows you to withstand the deadly magic that courses through the maze. And you begin to wonder if you indeed remain alone in your ability to explore the labyrinth. Emmett Hyler, okay, we know Wacknar, if he's still alive. He can explore the labyrinth, obviously. Because, you know, he made it. Emmett Hyler glazes you thoughtfully for several moments. And seems about to speak when you unexpectedly ask after her brother Thrumback. She shrugs and shakes her head. Through by her change of demeanour, seems to see that your inquiry is touched upon a sore subject. Lost to this world. Or so I see fit to say, she says, her voice suddenly choked with emotion. With him goes the only true light I've ever known in this world. She always protected me, Sir Croakington, though I found strength enough to get along on my own. I know that you brought him the stones. I might have cursed your name for it one time, but no more. Don't think, even for a moment, I bear any resentment towards you. How could you have known, Orkin? Admittedly, I suspected my brother's undoing with his own work. He haven't found you to bring him the stones. He would easily acquire the services of another to do the same. You ask Emmett Hyler if Thrumback is still alive. She wipes away a streaking tear and again shrugs. He was, though barely so, when last I saw him. Nigh on 6 months ago. Alright, so a lot of time has passed since we found all the dreadstones. She says, he was in Trithic. The state in which I discovered him is not one in which I will ever describe to anyone. If it is agreeable to you, Sir Croakington, I'd very much like to speak no more of him. Whoa. I mean, I knew the dreadstones do things to someone, but I thought Thrumback would be able to get rid of them in time, but apparently not. Maybe he did destroy them, and this was their final revenge. As they were dissolving, they threw all their malice in one final surge. One final surge at Thrumback, just out of sheer hatred. Emmett Hyler glances in both directions along the lane, her eyes scouring those who bustle past. After a moment's silence, she turns back to you. Turns back to you and says she must return to the Twisted Gate. This may be the last time we ever meet, Sir Croakington, she says. I don't mean that to sound so grim, mind, but it's difficult to say things with any certainty these days. If I never see you again, I should like to thank you, here and now. Your exploration of the labyrinth is hoping set right an ancient wrong, a grievous injustice long overlooked. Investigate the place revealed on the map. There is something to be found there. Just mind what I have said and remain vigilant. I will be keeping you in my prayers. After glancing in both directions along the lane, as if she fears that she is being observed, Emmett Hyler steps forward and initiates a shoulder cross. As she moves back, your glaze is drawn to her wide, dark, glistening eyes. As the first time you realise they are the same colour as those of her brother Thrumback. You will always find yourself welcome in the Twisted Gate, she says as she turns to leave. It may not be outwardly apparent, but there, Sir Croakington, you will ever be truly among friends. Stay well and stay safe. Farewell. You watch the young woman move along the street until she rounds the corner of the lane and disappears. For some time, you remain outside the stables, casually observing those who move in either direction along the lane. Despite the bustle that surrounds you, you feel oddly alone, almost vulnerable. Your meeting and conversation with Emmett Halyer has served to remind you that the world is, as you've long known, a vast and dangerous place. And not all danger is as obvious as a rewarding band of ogres. At last, vowing to remain mindful of what you've just been told, you set off along the lane, eager to discover what lies at the spot marked on Thrumback's map. A map redrawn for you by Emmett Halyer. As you reach the end of the lane and step onto the wider, bustling streets it intersects, you're struck by the premonition that you will again meet Emmett Halyer, and for reasons presently unclear, the fleeting notion leaves you with the possession of a small but undeniable sense of comfort. To reach the location marked on Thrumback's redrawn map, explore Frogmore Forest and select a mysterious location from the list of previously discovered locations. Okay, so that is something that Sir Crokington will want to do. But since we're already at 45 minutes, if I do that, we will go well over an hour. So, that will have to wait until the next episode. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.